Well, let's head to the Middle East first, and it appears the US is moving to withdraw its remaining troops from Syria amid Turkey's escalating offensive against Kurdish fighters. The US Defence Secretary Mark Esper says up to 1,000 soldiers will leave the area as quickly as possible. The announcement comes amid reports that the Kurds have struck a deal with the Syrian government to join the fight.
Despite our opposition, they decided to make this incursion into Syria. And at this point in time, in the last 24 hours, we learned that they likely intend to expand their attack further south than originally planned and to the west. We also have learned in the last 24 hours that the Kurdish forces, the SDF, are looking to cut a deal, if you will, with the Syrians and the Russians to counterattack against the Turks in the north.
And that's the US Defense Secretary Mark Esper. There are also reports that hundreds of foreigners affiliated with the IS group have fled a displacement camp in northeast Syria as a nearby town came under heavy bombardment. Giran Ozcan is the US representative for Turkey's pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, and he joins me now from Washington, D.C. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Mr. Ozcan.
Thank you. Good to be on.
It's been reported that the Kurdish-led Syrian forces have struck a deal with the Syrian government, the Assads, in military support for their fight against Turkey. Can you confirm this, please?
We're all looking at reports to that end. We have a statement, or actually an article, that was just published a few minutes ago on foreign policy, written by the commander-in-chief of the SDF, General Muslim, in which he says that if I have to choose between a compromise and genocide, I choose my people. And this definitely seems as if it implies that the SDF, the Kurds in Syria, are going to have to cut a deal with the Syrian government in order to avoid an impending atrocity, a human catastrophe.
We also understand from reports, and as I think I saw one defense secretary said that this was a combat zone growing more unstable by the hour. We also understand that Syrian troops, the Syrian army, is now marching towards the north of the country. Does that mean, in your view, that a confrontation with Turkish forces is inevitable?
Well, it would seem so, because at the end of the day, the Turkish army have crossed a border into another country to attack a region that has been stable for the last 7 or 8 years since the Syrian uprisings. And so they have absolutely no right to go into another country to attack a people that have never threatened the Turkish people, the country of Turkey. And so it does seem that if you look at it through an international perspective, a perspective of international law, it gives every right for the Syrian army and the Syrian people to defend their lands.
Yes, I mean, we did hear from the defense secretary then, it's the first time I'd heard it anyway, that the Turks had gone in despite US protests. Whereas, of course, what we'd heard was that, in effect, President Trump, in this phone call, this famous phone call, had in effect yielded and sort of said, go for it. Have you got any more clarity on that?
Unfortunately not. And I think that's the state of affairs here in Washington, D.C. right now. It's complete disarray. The Sunday night statement last week made by the White House was a clear green light to a Turkish incursion, a Turkish attack against the Syrian Kurds. Now, subsequently, the White House has tried to walk that back. The rest of the establishment, the rest of the US government has tried to walk that back and actually have said that they never approved a Turkish incursion. But if you're removing 50 or so soldiers from the location that the Turks have said that they want to attack, that does indicate that there is some sort of a deal that was cut between the White House and the Turkish president in last week's phone call.
And then, of course, to the great shock of the Americans, it would appear, by accident or by design, no one seems quite clear, American forces came under attack from artillery, Turkish artillery, and this has clearly led to this sudden decision to withdraw completely.
Yeah, I mean, ever since the beginning, ever since the Kurdish forces successfully defeated ISIS, Turkey has wanted the Americans to just get out of the way so they could unilaterally attack the Kurds there, because the Turkish state for decades has seen any kind of Kurdish political articulation as an existential threat to the Turkish government. And so that's why it has really tried to get the Americans to just move out the way and indiscriminate artillery fire. Very close proximity to Turkish to American camps in Syria was part of that project.
But big gamble and big risk by Turkey too, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, all of this is, but to be objective, it seems as if it's all paid off, because the current occupier of the White House prides himself with being the best negotiator in the world. And it does seem that a week ago, a deal was made between the two presidents.
Now, Turkey says it's captured the town of Ras Al Ain, although the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurdish-led, are denying the town has fallen. Do you have any better sense of what's actually happening on the ground?
Well, it does seem to be a very fluid situation. Sometimes for a few hours, one side has control, and then that quickly changes within another few hours. So I won't be able to corroborate either side of the story at this stage. But it does, you know, the videos that are coming from the region show indiscriminate artillery fire, bombardment, air bombardments that have, we've just seen a video come out a couple of hours ago in which a civilian convoy in which journalists were also present was hit by an air bombardment conducted by the Turkish Air Forces. And, you know, these are very graphic videos I'm talking about.
Now, Turkey is pushing deeper into Syria. What is your, what are the reports you're hearing about the impact on Kurdish civilians? We are hearing of some alleged atrocities by Turkish-backed militias executing Kurds. Have you heard any more of that?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's not just a matter of hearing these. We're able to see them. They're actually proud, so proud that they record themselves conducting field executions of civilian politicians. And this is then broadcast by the Turkish media as a very successful operation against Kurdish politicians in northern Syria. So it's not just about hearing these. We see videos of this, and then we see the Turkish media and government actually owning these inhumane acts.
So if the Syrian army, is again reports, says it'll be there in 48 hours. Now, what will, and then they will link up with the Kurds, but this is a most, unusual coalition, shall we say. What are the Syrian army likely to, how are they likely to behave towards those IS camps? Will they be anywhere near the Al-Hol camp? I should ask that as well.
I mean, let's firstly say this. This is not an ideal scenario for the Kurds. They are having to choose between the lesser of many evils in the region. And this is what seems to be unfolding right now. I mean, the Syrian government hasn't been, its record against sectarian, you know, its record within sectarian violence isn't very good. And so no one can probably explain as to how it will treat these camps. That we have heard of reports before throughout the Syrian crisis in which Syrian government officials have freed ISIS fighters because in some ways it serves their interests.
Except
in the region.
That they were fighting against them, because it doesn't quite make sense.
I mean, this whole Syrian war on a lot of levels hasn't made sense. I mean, right now we have, you know, allies, strategic allies of the US attacking allies of the US, the Kurdish allies who defeated ISIS. So if we try and look at the Syrian war in a rational way, it does seem that we just get lost.
Yes, so we really, Yes, it's we're really speculating, aren't we, on what could unfold? This is flat country, isn't it? Basically, which I presume I have heard suits the Turkish army, but I assume it also may suit the Syrian army. And I mean, are we looking at real outright clashes between the Syrian army and the Turkish army, which is really does ramp up the crisis, does it not?
Quite possibly, especially now that the Americans are actually leaving the country, actually withdrawing from northern Syria. We now have a situation in which Turkey, who has from the beginning of this war, has wanted to replace Assad, has wanted to remove Assad from power. And then we have on the other side the Russians and Iranians who are protecting and preserving Assad's grip on the country. Now, this is, these two perspectives just cannot be negotiated right now. They cannot be managed. But what happened until now, because of the American presence, Russia has been very happy to see Turkey pull into the Syrian quagmire in order to somehow wedge some sort of conflict between the Turks and the Americans also. But now that the Americans have decided to leave, Russia no longer needs Turkey's presence in Syria. And I'm inclined to think that once the Americans actually do leave northern Syria, then the Russians could give the green light for the Syrians to attack all Turkish positions.
Well, that's what, you know, some, I think, very prescient observers said about 48 hours ago, that there's a tremendous risks for Erdogan and Turkey in this. If they go too deeply into Syria, they could be extremely exposed. And really, you're just supporting that notion.
And absolutely. I mean, I think what needs to be mentioned here is that all of this is an extension of the states that are hosts to tens of millions of Kurds in the region. Their inability and unwillingness to actually solve the Kurdish issue, give the Kurdish people their rights, their human rights. Turkey's only hostility towards the Syrian Kurds derives from its inability to solve its own Kurdish issue within the borders of Turkey.
But it is also true, isn't it, as a lot have pointed out, that the Kurds themselves don't seem to know how to genuinely unite. There's tremendous divisions, considerable divisions inside the Kurdish forces across the region itself. Doesn't help your situation.
I mean, I don't think there's any nation on the face of this earth who are completely politically unified. I mean, I live here in Washington, D.C., and politically, the Americans can't be defined as a unified nation. And so political differences within the Kurds, I don't think, is a factor here. Kurds, just like any other nation on the face of the earth, will have different political traditions, different political parties with different agendas. But what unites them here is that an attack on the people's very existence is underway. Right. And I think the Kurds themselves could not have united in a way in which these attacks have made them.
Look, thank you very much indeed for all those insights this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Giran Ozcan, the People's Democratic Party representative of the United States. That's a Kurdish opposition group in Turkey. It's also known as the HDP.